Here begins the second half of my Pencast conversation with Dr. Kunio Mikuria, former Secretary General of the World Customs Organization.
Do you have thoughts on the new EU Customs Data Hub and the EU Customs Data Authority that's being rolled out? What potential does that have, and potential challenges do you see in reaching its full potential?
Well, EU's customs reform proposal is an interesting one because it tried to respond to the challenge of e-commerce to start with, because in the e-commerce, there are so many customs fraud, and it is, well, we know that there are many customs frauds, but we don't know what is the magnitude of that fraud to start with. And the problem of getting data from, quality data from from the private sector, traders, business is really challenged. So this is why EU has come up with solution to make sure that they get data, get data even from platforms. But in getting data, they thought about facilitation side, that each traders where to submit data, and if this is only one data hub, that could be helpful, which I understand. But that has, as you suggested, far-reaching effect on national customs, 27 national customs. Mm-hmm. Concept of EU customs reform and their proposed new legislation is fine, but how it would be used by each national custom administration is something that they have to come up with better, because risk management, I'm sure that EU is providing basic risk management, tool for risk management, but each port of entry has different environment and risk environment. Therefore, how to use that central hub data to match with their own environment, the customs environment at the entry point would be discussion, and how to deliberate more might be necessary. But all in all, he wants to have a data-driven customs. That I agree. Quite often, devil is in detail. I'm looking at how EU custom reform will progress at the, not only at the Commission, but now it is, more on the Council, Parliament, is what I'm interested. And also, it is about the implementation of technology, because in the past, the EU had, customs code, to implement custom code, it is information technology, and each customs, national custom administration should invest in their own IT system, which is very costly. So this is why initially when EU custom reform was presented, some administrations, we invested so much. But overall, the platform for investment and sharing data and intelligence, that could help 27 custom administrations.
Yes, as you say, the devil is in the details, and we'll see how it rolls out. But it's interesting to have your thoughts on the overall challenges faced. Do you think that the creation of regional data hubs and customs data authorities is the way of the future? Will we see more regional customs authorities in the coming years?
Well, customs, holy grail is always sharing data and how to have access to data. So whatever scheme, if customs has, access to data, but while at the same time fulfilling the national requirement of data protection, that is always we are the challenge for global customs community, and therefore I see that some customs administration in some regions, they have the scheme of sharing data. But what kind of data and what conditions that differs from region to region. And so I'm looking at that. And in the end, of course, they could be connected. They should be connected. And WCO should support, facilitate that data sharing while fully, addressing the concern of the private sector.
Mm. Understood. Understood. Shifting gears a little bit, I'm looking at the recent huge disruptions in our world, in our trade, in our societies, wars in the Ukraine and Gaza, the blockage of the Suez Canal, the pandemic, of course. How have these huge disruptions changed the priorities of customs work, do you think? What lessons have they taught us?
Well, it's an interesting point, because, in 1990s and the first 10 years of 2000, it was the era of hyper-globalization. And, it is really how to facilitate trade and looking at, cost efficiency and low cost production place and outsourcing has been really very prevalent at that stage, and that is where WCO and customs there was a high expectation, and WTO's trade facilitation agreement response to that need for hyper-globalization. So because for the globalization outsourcing, border should be really efficient and low cost. But then first came, in my view, 2001 terrorist attacks in the U.S., and there was a talk that maybe we were pursuing just in time, but just in case might be that requirement might be there. But it didn't happen, as you know, and they continue to the globalization. 2001 is also the year that China has joined the WTO. So, implementation of container IT technological innovation was there, and, low labor cost country, big one, has joined in the global trading system. And the WTO system was, sufficiently robust at that time. But now, as you say, there is a kind of paradigm shift. And as you said, the first came, it was the, most visible was pandemic. And pandemic caused disruptions, supply chain disruptions. And they noticed that, medical supplies, the production was concentrated on very few or not one, if not one country. So how to make sure that those, essential goods, the production should be should have multiple sources. That was one area. And also, actually, disruptions have happened. So if the source was really disrupted in terms of transport, global economy had a problem. So this is one side. And another side is that geopolitical consideration. As you know, US-China trade tension really started in 2018. And especially in the high-tech area, there was not just innocent globalization, but really reshoring or friend-shoring, etc. That was there. And then came war in Ukraine and in Gaza. So those were the really disruptive forces. And you said the blockage, but sanctions were there, and therefore customs are the implementation agency of sanctions in international trade. So they need to factor in those new requirements. And technology wise, container and IT system, as I said, there are e-commerce and small parcels, packages coming, and also AI and other technology coming in. So what that will bring to the new environment. Already it brought a new environment to customs, new challenges to customs, but what it will move forward and how customs can address that issue. Well, EU custom reform is one answer, but other countries are looking at how to respond to those challenges. And but at the same time, when we look at globalization, there are many emerging economies, but production factors of low labor cost, is it still valid? And also, consumption power of new emerging economies, how it will move on. And then finally, that multilateral WTO system, what is going on? Therefore, for WCO, we are trying to look at those disruptive ones. One side is technology, and another is, in the end, as we agreed, it is trust at the world trading system. Even if high tech area it's decoupling or de-risking, customers should really be careful about that. And also when it comes to globalization is the innocent globalization has finished, but I see increasingly regionalization. And when it comes to regionalization, free trade agreement or customs union, customs has been the core and the driving power. And I can see mega FTA or move towards customs union. So it's all those regional integration. How to make sure that those regional integrations are in compliance with, they are not moving towards, move towards more on supporting in the future multilateral system. And so this is what the customer should factor. And so how we can support this movement is, we are looking at. And, so that is, what, custom is in, well, different, well, more challenge comes, but, it would be, well, interesting era for the WCO to, look at and, lead, customer administration, in the world.
Fostering the combination of technology on the one hand and trust on the other, and ensuring that regionalization is a healthy regionalization rather than protective and exclusive one are indeed some big challenges for the WCO and for a lot of other players in the customs world. You know, to take the example of PenCP, which, as we've said, is funded by the EU Horizon program, what roles should internationally funded projects in customs like PenCP be playing in accelerating customs innovation, improving customs intercommunication and cooperation, breaking down the public and private barriers, instilling, as you say, the trust of the different players at the table? What do you think the role of such projects should be?
Well, first, sharing, well, what is happening and including best practices. Mm-hmm. Because, during the COVID-19 pandemic, what we did was that now communication has become difficult. What we should do is that, especially vis-a-vis the private sector, we have to share what are the procedure of customs, what best practices are there. And we published customer administrations, national customer administrations best practices, and other customer administration looking at that, share that, and they are inspired by other customer administrations experience, and they do their own custom reform. And also, the private sector is thinking and asking for customer administration. So first, sharing what is happening in the world and what are the best practices is important. And also, I hope that your podcast is not only limited to interview, public sector, but the private sector as well, and how to, encourage engagement and dialogue between the private sector and the public sector is important. During the pandemic time, I set every week Zoom meeting with the private sector. And, I receive a feedback from our members, the public sector customs, but, from the private sector point of view, what are your problems? What problems you encounter? How we can help? And that helped a lot in coming up with more definition of essential goods like a harmonized system. But also what they pointed out is that it is the lack of strategic coordination at borders that's a problem. It's not only customs, because at the borders, there are many other agencies. So this is why I started to talk to, trade, transport, and other international organizations to issue joint letter, joint statement to ensure that this is the important area that we need to enhance collaboration to overcome those challenges. So that kind of dialogue is very much needed. Sharing knowledge and instilling that dialogue. And also what is important is that provide a basis for professional pride for customs and other people in other sectors that their voice are heard and they are given the opportunity to explain what they are doing and how they can help. So communication is so important. So I look forward to your further contribution in this area.
To clarify, this podcast is indeed involving the private sector as well as the public. And I'm speaking with university researchers, private tech entrepreneurs and startup companies and so on. But yes, that enhancing professional pride and ensuring that all voices are heard is, those are, yeah, critical parts to making everyone sit down at the table and share information productively. Just getting people in the same room virtually or in reality is a valuable first step. You know, this is a conversation that has been an incredible education for me, and I think for our listeners as well. Your experience is really comes through in your analysis of what you've seen. To begin to wrap up our conversation, looking back over your long and distinguished career at the WCO, first as Deputy Secretary General and then for three terms as Secretary General, what do you feel have been your biggest achievements while at the WCO? What have been the biggest surprises and what have been the biggest disappointments or regrets, things you wish you had done or done more of?
Well, first, I try to make visibility of customs or understanding of customs, because customs, often people don't understand what we are doing. Ah, customs, those are the people at the airport and were searching on our baggages. But this is a typical view on customs. So I try to raise the visibility of customs. And the first 5 years, I try to come up with a vision. That is borders divide, custom connects. That is what we are doing. And for that, what tools we have, we came up with revenue package, because when I became Secretary General, it was amid the global financial crisis and decreasing custom revenue. And then, economic competitiveness package, because customs can contribute to competitiveness through trade facilitation, and then compliance package to make sure that customs role is protecting society. And of course, for that, we need organizational development package is necessary. So with that, we made clear that what are the customs function, mission, and vision. And fortunately, many customs administrations, many members appreciate that, and they took WCO's vision into their own national vision and missions. So that was what I am proud of. And then another area is that customs are implementation agency of any government policies. And therefore, they should remain agile and responsive to all the changing environment. So every year we try to see what are the problems. Is it, natural disaster, or of course health crisis was the recent one. But also, now the world is moving towards more green, sustainable. And how customs can contribute to this sustainability. That kind of, mindset to that we are at the forefront of implementing government policies. So we have the tools and we have the willingness to respond. So to the global issues. This will also raise the visibility of customs. And also, inclusiveness is very important. Therefore, capacity building activities in general, but I also launched more on landlocked countries, programs for landlocked countries or small island economies, to make sure that inclusive approach for our members is necessary. So those are the, areas and that WCO achieved, And also, as top salesman of WCO, I visited 168 members among 185 and talked to political leaders, more economic leaders as well, to advocate why customs is important, why it is important to invest in customs, and what custom can do to your country. And at the top political level and economic level, that dialogue was also what I am proud of. Well, what can do I regret anything? No, I don't regret anything, but we have to continue this and this journey for the customs community, and I'm confident that the next generation of WCO leadership and members, and they are very keen on moving forward and look back with pride of what they have achieved.
168 visits out of a total of 185 members. That is an impressive record. Your air miles accounts must be robust at this point.
Well, air miles, often people ask, how many rounds of the earth I did, but I always try not to think about that, how long I traveled or accumulated, because I really wanted to concentrate on our individual members' needs and advocacy. So that is what I think, honestly, my feeling.
Well, your contribution to that job and your dedication to getting the word out and being an in-person advocate and diplomat for World Customs is impressive. And obviously that's, people around the world are grateful to you for that work. You've contributed so much to customs, but you have so much more to contribute in your analysis and your historical view of customs development and innovation. What's next for you? What are your upcoming projects?
Well, up to December 31st, I had been running, and so I didn't have really time to think the next step. And I thought that I shouldn't think about that, because then I can't focus on my current job. And January, it was really sending out all my goods to Japan, moving. And I came back to Japan 10 days ago, and I have to set up my life in Japan. So sorry, I don't have that new project that I can tell you.
Well, you have earned the right to take a rest, and I think rest and reflect and enjoy next month's cherry blossom times, and I'm sure ideas will come.
Well, thank you for your advice.
For what it's worth, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kunio Mikuria, for sharing a few of your insights from your decades of high-level work in customs, finance, fiscal policy, technology, the politics of customs. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, and I'm grateful for your time.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to you. You are very good in extracting what I have been thinking, so I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Pushing the Envelope, Life at the Cutting Edge of Customs Innovation, a podcast that profiles customs leaders, highlighting their views, ideas, and inspirations about the future of customs innovation. Join us soon for our next Pencast and another insightful conversation with customs trendsetters and forward thinkers. Thank you.